There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio, the first, the original, the best. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. That cuddly fellow over there, that's Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Hello there.
Hey, tomorrow, got an interesting show from the A&E brand version of Ghost Hunters. Rochelle Stratton and Brian K. Murray will be joining us on the show. They have a new documentary called Sleepless Unrest, The Real Conjuring Home. This documentary takes them in for 2 weeks. They live in the Conjuring Home and have experiences. And there's one I'll talk to them about. There's one that really chills me to the core. And it takes place in a bedroom while they're sleeping. And dude, if you have not seen it yet, it is an unnerving as scene. It's worth it just for that scene alone. But it's a fascinating look and examination of this house, and the owners are part of this. It's really cool. The Heinzens will be on there, so go check it out. Sleepless Unrest. We'll have a link for it in tomorrow's show, so you can find it on all the different streaming services or where you can purchase it as well. Thursday night, we have a live show. We're back with a live show Thursday night. You can watch it, video stream it live on our Facebook page, my Twitter page, on our YouTube page. Just go to Darkness Radio on YouTube. Subscribe, hit the little bell so you're always alerted to when our new shows pop up. It's free, it's fun, and it's easy. You can find it all right there. So make sure you go check it out. We've got a lot of cool stuff brewing, a lot of great guests coming up. So thank you very much for continuing to listen to the show. And if I could ask you to do me a favor, whatever version you listen to, if there's a way to rate and review the show, please do it, especially on iTunes. That really helps our show. Go out there. You know, the ratings are great. You know, here's the one thing I will say. There are some lunatics out there rating, Tim.
Yeah.
We got a 1-star rating because we live in Minnesota and we're probably fans of Biden. That's the 1-star rating we got. Not, oh, the show sucked, these guys are horrible. It was because we live in Minnesota and we might like Biden. Yeah. Didn't even know where our position stands. Do you know why? Nobody knows what our position is, Tim.
Because we don't state it.
Right. We're not a paranormal political show. We are just a straight up paranormal show. We're your escape from the outside world. We are your home. We are your comfort. That 1-star reviewer, we would still hug him.
Yeah.
I mean, I might give him a little kick to the balls afterwards, but I would give him a hug and forgive him. But, you know, don't put up stupid shit. Just go give us a nice 5-star review. That's all. Don't put up dumb stuff. Just 5-star reviews. Is that asking so much?
No, not really. No.
For the 15, almost 16 years worth of love we've given to this job, just go rate and review. It helps us out. We appreciate it. Let's get started, Tim. We've got some news to share. And you know what? Let's begin, if you don't mind, Tim. We do have a new Theater of the Mind later on in the program. Mm-hmm. But we do have an audio daily double I would like to begin the show with.
Sure.
This, I thought, was an interesting story. Are we alone? Investigating the existence of aliens with our friends from ABC 57 News.
And now a question we've been asking since the beginning of time. Are we alone in the universe?
A new government report didn't provide an answer as many had hoped. Tonight, I'm taking a closer look in this ABC 57 special report.
Throughout your life, you've been scared by aliens, body snatchers, and close encounters. You've laughed at the men in black. And you could even say you've seen the signs. That life may exist somewhere else in space.
But it's not just Hollywood movie magic anymore. The existence of aliens, once a taboo topic reserved for secret government meetings, conspiracy theorists, and Hollywood directors, is now a topic of mainstream discussion.
I do believe in UFOs.
Yes.
I just feel like there is something else out there.
But have we gotten any closer to an answer? Tonight, I'm taking you on an intergalactic journey, exploring what's known and what's still unknown about the final frontier.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. My gosh. They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west. Oh, I think, dude.
Take a look at this footage captured during a U.S. Navy training mission in 2015. You see unidentified flying objects making maneuvers and flying at speeds that befuddled these hardened Navy vets. 6 years later, the video, declassified and now seen by millions of people, it's prompted the government to start investigating unidentified aerial phenomenon, more commonly known as UFOs.
What we're seeing outstrips pretty much anything in our arsenal by 100 to 1,000 years. So we're dealing with advanced technology. And the question is, how much of it is ours and how much of it is something else? In other words, do we have that much advanced technology here? Whose is it? It doesn't seem to be something from our Department of Defense. These things were up there 80,000 feet and dropping to right above the water in less than a second. We don't have technology that does that.
And your experience considering your line of work, are aliens real?
Yes. I mean, are there people out there, or other beings, intelligence? Yes. Are they here? Of course, that's the question. Are we dealing with something that is of a higher intelligence than us? Sure. Of course it is.
Sam Maranto has dedicated most of his life to the unknown. Maranto is a state director of MUFON, a civilian nonprofit organization that studies the existence of alien life.
Well, we investigate the UFOs. We investigate the case that something is being seen, that there is, in some instances, encounters with creatures that may be of another origin, which is, of course, the premise of most of this.
Encounters like the one Terry Lovelace says he had back in the 1970s.
I've seen things in the sky. I've seen UFOs.
Lovelace is an Air Force veteran serving from 1973 to 1979 as a trained medic and EMT. He later got his law degree at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. And now he's a retired lawyer and former assistant attorney general living with his wife in Dallas, Texas.
1977 is when I was abducted. I feel like, for whatever reason, they chose me for their experiments.
He tells me he was out camping in Devil's Den in Arkansas with a military buddy. They settled in at the park in an isolated open area on high ground.
It was clear that it was headed in our direction.
It, Lovelace believes, was a UFO.
As quickly as it turned on, it turned itself off. And then immediately, and instead, there came this laser light. Lasers are relatively new in 1977. I mean, I'd seen them on television, but I'd never seen one in real life before.
Decades of public denial of the existence of UFOs kept Lovelace, an honored military vet and respected attorney, silent for 40 years about his alleged encounter with aliens.
This big triangular thing that was 3,000 feet over our heads when we went to sleep had descended. And the second thing I saw was what I took to be a dozen or maybe 15 kids, all about 3 foot tall. And I could see them silhouetted kind of in the darkness. And I asked Toby, I said, man, what are these kids doing out here in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night? And he said, Terry, man, look at them. They're not little kids. They're not human beings. And he said, don't you remember? They took us and they hurt us. And as soon as he said that, my fear level went from a 2 to a 10.
Oh my gosh.
And I actually had flashes, mental flashes, very short images of being inside that thing.
It wasn't until 4 decades later in 2012 when he believes he found proof in an unexpected place of that life-changing experience.
The lady who took my x-rays, the technician, she took a set. And then she came over and took a second set. And then she asked me, you know, Mr. Lovelace, do you have any metal in your body? Have you ever suffered a shrapnel wound? And I'm like, no, I never, you know, I never left the state of Missouri. And she says, well, you've got some anomalies on your x-ray above and below your knee.
Take a close look at the area above his left knees. Doctors in Dallas were left puzzled by the strange formation of scar tissue with no apparent scar on Lovelace's knee. Lovelace says the radiologist who examined the x-rays insisted that the only way these objects could have been embedded in his leg would have been through an incision.
There's a square structure about the size of a fingernail above my knee with two wires attached to it. And he said, you know, that couldn't have got under your skin and into your tissue without leaving a scar. That's not possible. And he insisted on looking at my leg, and he didn't find a scar. And he was visibly shaken by that.
These x-rays are what eventually prompted Lovelace to tell his story, which he says he always wanted to keep a secret.
If that came out, I would lose the respect of my peers in the legal community. If it came out while I was an assistant attorney general in two jurisdictions, had that come out, I have no doubt I would have lost my job.
For the past 9 years, Terry Lovelace has told his abduction story at conferences and events, turned it into a tell-all book, and created his own website, causing some folks to question his motives and authenticity. But local paranormal enthusiast Jason Bland believes.
I believe him. I believe his evidence. I believe his story. And if he's being taken against his will, has been taken against his will, then there definitely is a threat.
Bland spends at least 3 hours every Sunday night broadcasting a podcast from his Michigan City basement, talking about all things paranormal.
We have just open lines. We let people call in and tell their experiences. And we do live paranormal experiments on the show because I believe it's all connected, be it ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot. I believe there's some universal paranormal theory out there that binds it all together.
The Sunday after the UAP government task force released their findings in June of 2021, Bland was on the air.
Everybody's talking about this, so I might as well just get this out of the way.
Openly criticizing the federal report, saying the information essentially amounted to nothing.
I summed it up in what a like one sentence is, we don't know what they are. We're looking into it. Give us more money.
In all, government officials looked into 144 reports of UAPs, again, more commonly known as UFOs, between 2004 and 2021. The report is one of the first acknowledgments by the U.S. government that UAPs are a national security concern. And of those 144 reports, they could only explain with high confidence one of those sightings. In that case, it was a large deflating balloon.
And this was only a 9-page summary. There's a whole report that's 10 times bigger than that, that the Congress has seen, that's classified, with satellite imagery, all kinds of stuff that would really blow people's minds, I'm sure. And maybe one day we'll get our hands on that. But it's a start. It's a start of the conversation.
The start of a conversation that's also jump-starting additional studies involving national security and technology.
I found one of the things most interesting is that they said that these UAPs can change their signature. They can basically hide stealth. And that's just technology we don't have.
The other thing about this technology is it's able to stay permanent or move about the sky for hours on end without depleting any sort of energy. Doesn't have wings, doesn't have rotors, propellers, nothing. So how does it move around? How is it doing it?
Despite the federal report creating more questions than answers, it seems like paranormal enthusiasts and the government can finally land on common ground.
The biggest takeaways from this is that we have now the government admitting there's something going on.
First of all, it is real. It is a genuine phenomena. There is no ands, ifs, or buts. UFOs exist, UAPs exist. What exactly they are, where exactly they're from, and what exactly they want, that remains to be the question. But for us, the biggest hurdle is the you're crazy hurdle.
Now, if you think you've seen a UFO or have had an encounter with otherworldly life yourself, you're encouraged to visit MUFON.com and report your sighting.
Very cool. Good comprehensive look that I felt they actually held it pretty seriously instead of the tongue-in-cheek X-Files theme in the background and you know, bad puns throughout. I like that regular news is starting to, you know, hold this as a little bit more of just a real news story as opposed to a bizarre curiosity.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, it's like you said, it is encouraging that they're not doing the tongue in cheek, the ha ha, the, you know, the little jokey stuff in the background, and that they're giving it a little bit of serious investigation.
If you'd like to probe this story more, make sure to check out our website. You know, yeah, I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
We have an email. Hey, Dave, I have a story I'd like to share with you and Tim to tell on your show. So when I was about 16 back in 2006, I was staying at a family friend's house like I had so many times before. But they had a spare room that was used for storage because their youngest son didn't want to sleep in it. Well, they finally got it cleared out for guests and I slept there. At first, I was a little weirded out because I hadn't been in there, but eventually fell asleep. About 11 p.m. or midnight, I woke up to use the bathroom and noticed it was pretty cold. So I turned the heat up, which didn't even seem strange, even though it was in Georgia in the middle of summer. Anyway, I was done using the restroom and came back to the room, and it had gotten very warm pretty quickly. But I said, screw it, and I just laid back down. Almost as soon as I shut my eyes, something hit me, kind of in the way wind does, and almost felt like I was falling. I was terrified. I started to hear arguing. I couldn't make out specifically what I was hearing until towards the end, but it sounded like the arguing was about me. I felt my hands and feet cramp up really badly, and it felt like as soon as it started, it stopped. The voices faded away, and then I felt that wind like hit again, and I felt myself hit the bed. When I opened my eyes, which was almost right away, I noticed I was opposite of how I laid down, and I was drenched in a cold sweat and was like, screw this, and decided to sleep on the couch in the living room. When I checked the time, it was 5 a.m. What felt like just a few minutes was 5 or 6 hours. Now, I don't know for certain if this was a dream my mind had made up because of the situation surrounding the room or if it was something paranormal. I was so terrified, though, that it felt real. I didn't go back over there for a few weeks. What's yours and Tim's thoughts on this? Could I have a moment of, could I have for a moment lost my mind in a bad dream, or could I have been going through something more? Thanks for your time. That comes from Walker in Michigan. P.S. I have other experiences I'll be emailing out at other times. Oh, Walker, you tease. Please do. Just make sure to feel free to use some punctuation and paragraphs. That's all I ask, Walker. I don't know. I can't tell you specifically what it was. It very well could have been just a dream. You knew about the room, the other kid being weirded out. It sounds more like your body or your soul was trying to astral project and your body was not ready for it yet. You know, that kind of weird feeling like you're rolling over into yourself. I can't say specifically. It definitely was an intriguing story. We'd like to hear what else you have to share. Maybe that'll open up a better understanding of what you experienced.
I think you're onto something there. When you have that sleep that seems like hours go by in minutes, a lot of times, and I had kind of a weird experience, I guess I can tell you about.
Wait, was this in college after you and I had mixed rum and tequila and woke up naked on the roof of my house?
No, it actually happened.
Okay,
it actually happened
because we don't want to talk about that.
No, it actually happened last week.
Geez, all right, hit me up.
I was, and it's kind of, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you're going to laugh at the end, but you have one of those things where you fall asleep and it was one of those hours that go by in minutes type thing. It's like you go to bed around 11 o'clock or midnight, and I woke up and it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and it felt like I had just laid down. But when I woke up, I felt like I had slammed into my body. It was the weirdest feeling. Like I hadn't quite gotten my traction into my body, like I'd been out traveling and hadn't got back in, but I heard something like the whispers that he's talking about. Like I had finished a conversation, or I was in the middle of finishing a conversation, but like I wasn't ready to come back yet. But the reason I was coming back, here's the funny part. I had to pee like a racehorse. So it was like
right, that'll drag you back to reality.
Oh, quick. Yeah. Yeah. When you got to go, you got to go, brother. That's all there is to it. So nature was calling and I had to get back, I guess, in a hurry. And so even it was like a newborn foal or a newborn calf. Like I couldn't get my legs underneath me. Like I was stumbling to the bathroom. Like I had like a bottle or two of Jack Daniels in me. But I crazy. Barely made it to the bathroom to let nature answer the call. And I had a hard time getting back to the bed. And it wasn't hard for me to get back to sleep, but then sleep resumed on a normal course. So the next few hours for me to go and go to sleep and then get back up again felt like normal time. But that time between 11 or 12 and 4, I think it was like 4 o'clock I woke up, it felt like it was just minutes. And I have no other way to describe it, but it was like I had hit my body so hard. It was like, you know how you're on a roller coaster and you hit that one big down, you know,
right.
You know, yeah. You're coming down the hill at such a hard rate and then you hit the bottom and you jerk back up.
Yep.
It's that feeling. It was like, boom, nice. Into my body. And I was like, whoa. And the feeling was so overwhelming. And then it was like, gotta pee. And I ran to the bathroom. And it was, you know, at that point, it's just, you're not focused on what happened. You're focused on, you know, bodily functions. But then I sat there on the edge of the bed thinking, what happened? You know, what exactly happened? And it's you know, something to reflect on, but not something that you're necessarily scared about. But right. you think, okay, well, what exactly was that? You know? So yeah, I do think those whispers were, like you said, it was maybe you were out traveling, you were walking around a little bit, and it's not something you're truly comprehending, but yeah. But it may happen again. So just kind of keep a mental note of it or write it down if you want.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy stuff. Hey, you know, we record the show out of order. I do want to mention we recorded with Rochelle Stratton and Brian Murray before we recorded this episode. And Brian, I just want to give you a backwards update. When you listen to the episode, all of a sudden Brian just kind of vanishes near the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. Turns out that an elderly woman struck his truck while he was doing the interview. Oh. He was sitting in a parking lot doing our interview. Thankfully, he's okay. They're okay. Everything's fine. Just a little ding in his bumper. That's it. But now we understand. So tomorrow when you listen to the show and he suddenly vanishes, he was just struck. So, but they are safe. I just wanted to give that quick update. You know, I want to tell you something really weird. We've all had those dreams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to go to the bathroom and like you're standing in line at some outdoor concert waiting in line to get into the Biffy, or you're trying to get to the restroom and you just can't find it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So we all have those because you know that your body's trying to inform you. I had a really strange one once, and it was only one time that this ever happened. But during the dream, I kept feeling the searing pain in my stomach. Right.
Yeah.
And I remember cramping over in my dreams a few times and it was hurting. And it just was the weirdest sense. But at one point, and this part sticks out to me like a dream visitation. It's so weird, Tim. This little kid I've never seen before and have never seen since comes up to me while I'm doubled over, takes my head in his hands and goes, "Wake up. You have to go to the bathroom.
Weird.
If you don't wake up, you're going to mess the bed." And I'm like, "What?" And he just looks at me and he goes, "You need to wake up now." And then I remember thinking about it and like everything went to black and all of a sudden I sat up in bed and my bladder was about to frigging explode. Oh, right. Wow. And I'm like, what the hell? And I went into the bathroom. So I'm like, usually I get up and I just stumble in the dark and, you know, take a seat and let nature and gravity do the rest of the work. But dude, my eyes were wide open, lights on, everything, because I was afraid this kid was still around me.
Oh, yeah.
It was that real feeling. So bizarre.
Now you're going to think this is a funny question, but at that point, is that your guardian angel telling you the guardian angel of Wiz telling you that you need to, go take a leak or
the guardian angel of Wiz. How would you like that to be your moniker? Yes. Let's see. And Gabriel, you shall be the seeker, and Michael, you shall be the protector. Tim, you are the guardian of Wiz.
I'm imagining that's going to be like my first station, the guardian angel of Piss Boy. That would be, that'd be my first one probably. God.
Alien abductions could be the result. This is following up on our last conversation here. Alien abductions could be the result of lucid dreaming, a study says. Ooh, Tim, wait a minute. What if I was being probed by aliens and they realized my bladder had filled and the little boy I thought I saw was the alien trying to wake me up that I needed to go to the bathroom so they could continue their probing?
That could be.
Weird. Yeah. Alien abduction stories and encounters with UFOs could be the result of nothing more than lucid dreaming, according to a new study. 114 and 152 adults. 114 and 152 adults who were analyzed by Russian-based Phase Research Center says they had an alien and UFO encounter after one or more attempts to have lucid dreams. Of those, 114 people, 61%, say they encountered alien-like creatures, while 28% say a little boy told them to wake up to go potty. No, 28% say they encountered UFOs. Regarding the successful cases, 20% were close to reality in terms of the absence of paradoxical dreamlike events, the authors wrote in the study. AUEs can be emulated willfully and can be perceived as being very close to reality. In theory, random people might spontaneously encounter AUEs during REM sleep and confuse the events with reality. 4% of respondents said the aliens were invisible, while 19% said that they looked like ordinary people, like little boys cradling your face telling you to go wake up because you have to go potty. 39% of respondents said visual contact with aliens was experienced, while 26% of those had LDs managed to talk with aliens, that's lucid dreams, but did not have a physical encounter with them. 12% spoke with aliens and had a physical interaction with them. 10% said they were inside a UFO at some point, while 3% flew on the UFO. The dreamers were instructed by researchers to find or summon aliens or UFOs, according to the study, and memorize the events, regardless if an interaction occurred. Some of the respondents had exceptionally detailed dreams, including one female telling researchers on February 8, 2019, she dreamed of little men with smooth skin of blue color, human height, with non-standard large heads and huge bulging eyes of black color. Another participant, a male, said he wanted to hear aliens and almost immediately began to hear their unnatural grunts. Yeah. Two azure colored organisms stood on two sides of the lens. Each one had one huge oval eye arranged vertically. They had no limbs, but they were pulsating bodies that levitated 5 centimeters above the floor. Both aliens gazed at me as they kept making sounds, which I heard even outside the door. After 8 to 10 seconds, a lot of thin tentacles. I said tentacles.
Oh, Tim. Yes.
Reached me from the body of one of them. Was this Snally? It most certainly wasn't. Don't be blaming me for reaching under doors with me tentacles. Lucid dreams are fairly prevalent throughout society, which may help explain why so many people believe they have been abducted by UFOs. So tonight, folks, those of you lucid dreaming, before you go to your lucid dreaming state, I want you to imagine, if you will, I want you to lucid dream me and Snallygaster into your dream. And I want you to email me if it works. I want to know what me and Snally and you got to do in your dream.
Well,
it could be like the never-ending story. You could ride on my back like Falcor the Great, and we could see all kind of creepy shit in the universe. I like it. I'm in. Are you in, Tim? Do you want to be a part of this?
Sure, why not?
Lucid dream Tim, me, Snallygaster, and you, and maybe your friends Let's all have a paranormal barbecue. That's another option. Approximately 55% of adults have had one lucid dream in their lifetime, while 23% of people have them once a month, according to October 2020 analysis from the Sleep Foundation. 24% of the group say they experienced fear, also known as sleep paralysis. In an interview with Live Science, PRC head researcher and founder Michael Raduga said these people may be a microcosm of people who believe they were actually abducted by extraterrestrials. These abductions are real for these people, Raduga told the news outlet. They just don't know how to explain it. The study has been published in the International Journal of Dream Research. Boy, I bet people wish they could find that study. Well, we've made it easy. Just go to Darkness Radio, click on the news tab, scroll down to this story, scroll to the bottom of this story, and you'll find a link to the actual published research in the International Journal of Dream Research. There you go. Just because I love these people, Tim.
But do you?
Lucid dream us, baby. Lucid dream us.
Do you really love them if you're giving them all that information? I mean, it may put them right to sleep into a lucid dream. That.
Do you know how many people tell me that? Oh, I love you and Tim. You guys help me fall asleep every night. I never make it past 15 to 20 minutes of your show.
That's not
I'm like,
good.
We bore you that bad? They're like, no, you two have the most lilting voices.
Oh, that's not good.
So I think we should do this through every episode. What do you think? Should we change our voices up to, I don't know, Snallygaster and Pinky from Pinky and the Brain? You be Pinky, I'll be Snally. And I'll be in Scotland before ye. Hi, Dave. I love your podcast and Holzer Files. March 24th, 2004 still haunts and confuses me. It was the morning that Philly was imploding Veterans Stadium. I woke up early to go to the bathroom. Wow, there's a running theme in our stories today, Tim.
Yeah.
I was three steps down when I tripped and fell headfirst down the last 10 steps towards a wall and a metal bed frame leaning in the corner.
Oof.
My last thought was, I'm going to hit my head on the bed frame. The next thing I know, I'm sitting cross-legged around the corner in the hallway. I had no injuries at all, no bruises or even pain. I feel my great-grandmother caught me and sat me down, but who knows? I do know that a few years later, I started seeing a black mass shaped like a human at the top of the first floor steps. And freaky, but a half person, chest, arms, and head on the landing of the third floor. I later learned that that may have been a resident of the property that was there and smaller than my home. Or wait, that was strangely written. Let me try to read that sentence again. I later learned that that may have been a resident of a property that was there and smaller than my home that had been built in the 1800s. But back to the shadow person. I greeted it when I saw it after a string of misfortunes, learned it came more when something was going to happen. In 2008, a massive factory attached to my house burned, and somehow my house just had water damage. It was covered in 6 inches of ice from the firehouse on the coldest day of the year. 2009, my grandmother had a premonition and told me to move my car. I moved my car in front of my driveway, and while waiting for the other car to warm up, the sidewalk at my feet collapsed 1 foot in front of me. It was 30 by 50 foot sinkhole that I would have been stuck or crushed in if I had waited longer to move the car. On 2010, on a ski trip, I tore my ACL, MCL. All these times, the shadow was around constantly. It seemed to lessen after my grandmother passed of cancer. I feel it was a family member, but who knows? Since I sold the house and moved, I've had visits at night with someone sitting on my bed. Perfume of my grandmother and my cats seem to follow something. I've been told that I have premonitions, but I'm afraid to tap into my abilities. I've taken Cindy's two classes and somehow shared info on people I have no clue about or how I did it. Sorry for the rant. I just wanted to share with someone who believes, since not many people believe me. You can share online if it interests you, and that comes from Deanna in Philadelphia. We are here to believe you, Deanna. I wonder, though, since this shadowy figure appears at times of crisis, is it you from the future? In all those times that in between sleep and awake, as you go to bed thinking about those moments, are you somehow transporting yourself, astral projecting, or sending yourself back to be an eyewitness to that moment again?
Hmm.
Huh? Huh? I'm just saying, Tim, something to consider. Something to what you say there at Corn Sitter.
Let's get nuts. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Maybe you are the leader of a future space race, and they're sending themselves back through time because they want to save their queen from any future injury.
Pass the Dutchie on the left-hand side. Da, 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 da. We're all getting high together with these theories. Speaking of getting high and theories of aliens, does Willie Nelson's son Lucas believe in aliens? It's a question I never thought I'd ask myself, but yet here we are, Tim. During the COVID-19 lockdown, Lucas Nelson was looking up to the sky for motivation, understanding, and encouragement. What he found was the inspiration for his latest album, A Few Stars Apart. In an interview with Cody Allen, the conversation took an astronomical twist, and the two found themselves discussing alien life forms. "I definitely believe that the government has no idea," laughs Lucas as he responds to Cody's question of the government releasing its recent UFO report. "I think that they definitely want us to believe in ETs because it allows them to experiment with their technology, you know? When everybody says, a UFO? Okay, well, that distracts them from what they're actually testing us on," says Willie Nelson's son. "They probably do have a lot of crazy technology that we don't know about at that moment. I think it's pretty much a guarantee that there is life out in the universe," says Lucas, "just from the fact that the building blocks of life are out there. The planets next to us are made up of similar elements. The periodic table of elements spans the universe. So do you believe in UFOs? A Few Stars Apart is available now, and as a testament to finding a human connection between close family and friends, as well as one's own heart. You can listen online now to Lucas Nelson's new album." There you go, Tim. Lucas Nelson, the son of Willie Nelson, believes, like you, that these aren't really necessarily alien craft, that it's just a secret military armament, if you will.
Good kid. Actually,
Christopher, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you've ever seen Willie play within the last few years, his sons are very talented.
I have not. I have not. Right. I've not seen Willie play with them or Willie play with himself.
Hey, now, come on, no.
Yeah, it's true.
Well,
Christopher Landon is set to write and direct for Netflix a new movie called We Have a Ghost, starring Anthony Mackie and David Harbour. Netflix has tapped Christopher Landon, who did the new Freaky movie and Happy Death Day, both I've loved, to write and direct We Have a Ghost, a family adventure film that will star Anthony Mackie from The Falcon and Winter Soldier in the Marvel Universe, David Harbour from Black Widow and also from Stranger Things, Jai Diallo Winston from Charm City Kings, Tig Notaro from Army of the Dead, and Jennifer Coolidge, who you might recognize from the American Pie movies. The film centers on Kevin, who finds a ghost named Ernest haunting his new home. Kevin subsequently becomes an overnight social media sensation along with his family. But when he and Ernest go rogue to investigate the mystery of the latter's past, they become targets of the CIA. Landon is penning the script based on Jeff Manog's story. Ernest, Dan Halstead is producing alongside Temple Hill's Marty Bowen and Isaac Klausner. The project's executive producers are Christopher Landon, John Fisher, Jeff Manog, Corey Budd, and Nathan Miller. Sounds like it could be an interesting and fun movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
Sure.
Am I here to judge? let me see here. I'm trying to flip through these. You know what? Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We do have a new Theater of the Mind, a cool Mothman-y story. We've got more news stories, more of your emails, and if you want to be a part of the show, call our Voices from Beyond voicemail, 651-300-4977. 651-300-4977. Be a part of the show. Call in and share your story. Leave it on our voicemail. We'll play it on an upcoming episode of the program. Hey, folks, if you have not yet had a chance to see my junk or get your hands on my package, I've still got some available. And actually, you can get just my autograph book if you're interested. They're $20 for my autograph book, The Other Side, a Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal, a book written for everybody so that teaches you about ghost hunting, why we ghost hunt, what are ghosts, what are the tools of the trade, how do we protect ourselves dealing with demonology and the like. That book, $20, autographed by me. I have the Holzer Files card. It is a 5x7 card of me from the Holzer Files, beautifully made up. I can sign those. Those are $20 as well. I do have the Darkness Radio car decals for just $10. If you would like to get the kit now, we'll offer the entire kit, $40. It gets you the book, the autograph card, and the decal. So if you're interested, you can get them individually by just going to darknessradio.com and click on the shop tab. You could scroll down the page and see those individual items, or you could just email me, Dave at Darkness Radio, and say you want Dave's package or you can't wait to see my junk, and I will make sure that we bill you the $40 and get you the $50 worth of stuff. And for the remainder of July, Tim, I'm throwing in a bonus gift for that $40 package. This bonus gift has a value of over $30. I want you to just think about that, Tim. So you're getting a $40 package that includes my autograph book, my autograph card, and the Darkness Radio decal that can go on your computers or on your cars, maybe your backpacks, your best friend's forehead. But I'm also going to include a $30 bonus value item. Will I tell you what it is? No, I will not. Oh. It's a super cool secret, and it's something kitschy, fun, and it's for you. So those are for the remainder of July. So place your order. Say you want Dave's big package plus the bonus free gift. So if my package isn't enough for you, I'm going to throw in a bonus, Tim. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
Yep. Yeah. So email me. You want my package? Just Dave at darknessradio.com. My wife will then send you the invoice. You can pay it and we will ship out and you will be able to get your hands on my package. See my junk for yourself, Tim. That's what I want on a t-shirt. What do you think?
I've seen your junk plenty of times. It looks pretty appealing. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yep. Tim's helped me on a lot of the stuff. As a matter of fact, I do want to mention as well, Tim, you showed the Darkness Radio talking boards, the spirit boards.
Yep.
Online, I've had people emailing me. How can they order those?
Oh, it's coming very soon, Dave. We're actually ramping up production of the talking boards, and we will have a link for you to order them online shortly. So
very cool. So keep checking it out. I'm sure we'll have a link up at Darkness Radio as well so that you can order those. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got more right after this. Welcome back to the program. This is the best in paranormal podcasting. You're tuned in to Darkness Radio. I'm Dave. That's Tim. Let's turn down the lights, pull up close to your radio, because it's time now for a new episode of Theater of the Mind. Today's Theater of the Mind, a Mothman moment, a real-life encounter from Lori Jean. I'm reluctant to share this story, as I'm sure it'll sound like I'm batshit crazy. But the truth is, this happened without a doubt. I live in southern Michigan in the United States. A couple of years ago, I was on my way home from a friend's house. It was about 11 p.m. I was alone in my F-150 truck. I was sitting at a red light idling about a mile from home. I was completely sober. There had been no drinking, no drugs. There were no other cars at the intersection, just me. As I waited for the light to turn green, something fluttering caught my eye in my rearview mirror. At first, I thought it was a big bird, but as I continued to stare, I saw that this was no bird. It was huge, flying about 6 to 8 feet above the road behind me, heading directly towards me. This was probably a good city block behind. I saw its wings flapping as it got closer. I could see each wing was at least 6 feet long in span. It had a human-style body, and it was all black. I was frozen in fear. I may have even stopped breathing. My mind raced to try and justify what I was seeing. My eyes quickly darted around looking for flags, banners, something that possibly could be creating this image I was seeing on the road. But there was nothing. It had just about reached the bed of my truck when the light turned green. I broke my stare and I floored it out of there. Funny how your mind races and your body freezes while trying to justify what you're seeing. That was the most awful fear I had ever experienced. When I got home, I was trembling. reality set in. To this day, I still don't know what the hell it was that I saw. I searched the net to give you an idea of what I saw, and I know what this sounds like. It sounds like Mothman. I never saw it again, and I hope I never do. Ooh, scaredy kids. I like that. A little Mothman story, Tim.
Yeah.
Or creature story. I haven't heard one of those, so that was a good one. That's why I wanted to make it a theater of the mind. Very cool. You know what? It is weird, dude. I kid you not. It is weird how we do this. I don't plan this, I promise you. I just pull the news as it comes and read your stories as I get to them. And Tim, I have a story about sleep paralysis. That has come to us from Anthony Martin.
Okay.
And he would like to share that story.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Dear Dave and Tim, during my time in the U.S. Navy, I had a few incidents with sleep paralysis. I've also always enjoyed the paranormal and all things cryptid, and do to this day. My first incident with sleep paralysis happened in the early 2000s. I was on shore duty and stationed in my hometown of San Diego. This had the great benefit of staying at my mom's place and not have to stay at the barracks. During the holidays, my mom was dating and brought her then boyfriend and his brother to hang out and have a few drinks. I met them and they seemed nice, but didn't think too much of them. After a while, the brother of the boyfriend and I began to chat, and out of the blue, he offered me drugs. I've never done drugs before and was not about to jeopardize my career for it either. I politely declined and let my mom know that it was time for them to go as I had to wake up early for work. Out of respect, they left with no problem. I told my mom about the brother offering drugs and she quickly broke it off with her companion. I told you this story to set up the next part of the tale. Being in the Navy allowed me to work out anytime I wanted, so I was in good shape. I was very strong, and I liked to lift heavy weights. Influenced by my days of watching WWF wrestlers and wanting to look and be as strong like them. I can't remember how much time had passed since that encounter with my mom's friends. I'd estimate 4 to 6 months when it happened. There were only three people in my mom's home, my younger sister, my mom, and myself. We were all asleep, me in my room, my sister and mom in her room, and our rooms were back to back. Sometime in the night, I heard a man's voice call my name in a loud whisper. Tony. My eyes immediately shot open, and I tried to move, but I couldn't. I was facing the window with my back to the door, so I could not tell if someone was in the room and holding me down. I tried calling out to my mom to run and get my sister out of the house, but my voice caught in my throat. After what seemed like forever, I finally broke free of whatever was holding me down and jumped out of bed and ran to the next room. My mom and sister were sound asleep. I woke my mom and asked her if she'd heard anything. She said no. She's a very light sleeper. Even a fart would wake her up in the night. So I found this very disturbing. Fast forward a week or two, my mom and I were having dinner, and she asked if I remembered the night of my sleep paralysis. How could I forget? She told me her friend's brother had been killed over a drug dispute. I've never channeled before and have not since. I have two more stories of my own that get creepier and a really great one of my wife feeling the passing of my stepfather. Thank you, Tim and Dave, for the opportunity to tell this story. More to follow. Keep up the great work. What a tease. These teasy teaser tins, Tim. That's from Tony Martin. Thank you, Tony Martin.
So wait a minute. Is Tony trying to tie that in?
What?
Is he trying to say that the death of
Yeah, he thinks he was channeling that dead drug addled brother, I'm thinking.
Really?
Uh-huh. All right, let's take a look at our next news story. A couple believe that their house in Rhonda has been haunted for 30 years, Tim. Uh-huh. Gil and Mike Downey say that, or maybe it's Jill, G-I-L-L, they're out in the European area, Tim, so I'm betting that's Jill.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Downey, because I can see the picture, is definitely a man and a woman, so it's not Gil and Mike Downey, unless maybe the father was a fisherman and named his daughter after that. I don't know. I'm going to say Jill, though, G-I-L-L. I'm going to call it Jill, Tim.
Okay.
And Mike Downey. I'm focused too much on this name. say their terraced house in Yinsiranda is home to some ghostly goings-on, which keeps freaking out their family, as well as unexplained noises and lights suddenly switching on and off. They've also seen a shadowy dark figure roaming through their abode. The couple, who got the property for half the price of the other houses in the area, felt it was haunted as soon as they bought the house in the 1980s. Jill said, "On the first night that I moved in, I felt like there was someone walking up the stairs across the landing and stopped outside my bedroom door. The activity got worse over time, where I could hear noises. Lights would be switched on in rooms." They shared their predicament on the latest episode of Discovery Plus's documentary series, Help! My House is Haunted. Jill and Mike called in experts after 3 decades of paranormal activity. Mike said, "I just want to try and prove there's something, and at least we know we aren't imagining these things." Before the show's psychic medium, Ian Lawman, was told anything about the property, he felt a male presence, a family that is significant. Ian said, "I feel that once I got into the property, I think this man will let himself be known quite quickly. He seems to think it is his house still, so I'm not sure whether he knows he's passed on or not, and he keeps going about children for some reason." While traveling to the house, Ian said he could smell burning coal, which he saw as a sign that the gentleman he was sensing kept going on about the dark. He thought the gentleman may have worked underground. Ian, who arrived at the property alone and walked around the house, said he felt a male presence when walking around the house. Ian said, "He doesn't want me here. I'll tell you that now." As he was walking around the bedroom of the couple's daughter, Zoe, Ian got the feeling a spirit was making him feel unwelcome. He added the room would make people want to leave. It's like the room pushed them out. And as he was walking through the house, Ian said he felt the energy changing, adding his lung capacity had dropped and he was struggling to breathe. He also insisted he felt a male presence throughout the property and could smell burnt coal, floating the theory that the ghost may have been a coal miner. Maybe he was getting that coal lung and he was sensing that.
Oh, yeah.
Paranormal investigator Barry Guy also went to visit the house's former owner, Carol, who sold the property to Jill and Mike. Carol said something would come from the front door towards the stairs. Never made a sound. All I can describe it is a dark shape. But it wasn't a walk. It wasn't a float. It was more of a glide. And during the show, paranormal investigator Jane Harris discovered that there had been an underground explosion at a coal mine near Wattstown, which saw 119 killed. The program's team later also used a device they called a spirit box and believed one of the spirits, calling himself Peter, came through to the team, reassuring Mike and Jill that the spirit was actually protecting their family. 3 months after the show, Jill and Mike said that their house is much quieter now, and their grandchildren had slept over in the back bedroom, and their daughter Zoe visits a lot more. So it's a happy ending, Tim. Oh. Not the happy ending you're used to.
No.
When you swing by the Shanghai Palace of Pleasure.
Well, it's a good happy ending, yeah. I get a fortune cookie at the end. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
It is.
We have another email here, Tim.
Okay.
See how I do this? I'm working emails in with the news stories. Hi, Dave. Sorry, that's how it starts.
Yeah, well.
Well, he talks about you next. First of all, I hope this email finds you and Tim well.
Aw.
I've been listening to you both for about 5 years now. Absolutely love the show. You and Tim have kept me entertained for many a long drive as I travel frequently for work, and you have strengthened my belief in the paranormal. One example of what you did this was after I listened to your show on a SETI ranch, and you basically said, "Don't take my word for it. Go there yourself and check it out." Well, I did about a year and a half or 2 years ago, and it did not disappoint. My wife and I stayed in one of the yurts they have on the property. The sky at night at a SETI is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. Unexplained lights darting everywhere, coming close, then shooting off. It's just awesome. Everyone needs to go there once in their lifetime to experience what a truly magical place it is. Well, I've heard you read other people's stories on your show and wanted to share my story that solidified my belief in ghosts and the paranormal. About 8 years ago, my now wife and I were looking after a doctor's mansion on a lake in Wisconsin. We did this often for her when she was away on business. It was great because it was a beautiful home and she paid us handsomely to watch her house and take care of the dogs. My wife and I always got some weird vibes from the house, and often at night when we were laying in bed, we would hear what sounded like someone walking back and forth upstairs. This happened often, and the longer we stayed, it would get louder and louder. The dogs would sleep in the same room as us, and when it would start happening at night, I noticed that they would look up at the ceiling and kind of follow the noise back and forth as it moved with their eyes. This was disturbing enough, but not enough to keep us from watching the house and making that good money. Now, the doctor had a big fireplace in the living room, and often during the winter, my wife and I would get a big fire roaring and watch TV on the couch. We would often fall asleep there watching TV because it was so cozy, and that fire on a cold Wisconsin night can always feel welcoming. One night, after we had fallen asleep on the couch at about 3 a.m., we were awoke by the sound of a loud bang. It sounded like someone dropped a bowling ball from the ceiling right above us and that it landed next to us on the couch. We both woke up startled. My wife pulled the blanket over her head and I sat on the couch to try to figure out what was happening. When I looked up and to the right, I saw clear as day two older people sitting in chairs next to one another with a table in between them and an older looking liquor cabinet behind them. They both had a drink next to them and the man had a newspaper in his hands. Needless to say, I couldn't wrap my head around this and I shouted, "Hello, who are you?" I got no response and looked back behind me where the kitchen was. That looked totally different now as well. It was older, without the modern appearances and appliances, and it seemed much smaller. When I turned back to where the older people just were, they were gone, and everything seemed normal again. My wife asked me what's going on, and I just said, "I have no idea." I didn't tell her at that time that what I just saw because I didn't want to freak her out. We still had to stay at that house four more days before the doctor returned. A few weeks passed, and I still had said nothing about the incident. Then the doctor asked if we could come by the house and help her with a project. We did, and the whole time I was working for the doctor that day, I got an overwhelming feeling that I had to tell her about the incident. Despite being afraid that she would think I was crazy or on drugs and not hire us again to watch her house, I proceeded to tell her exactly what had happened. As I was telling her the story, I could see her eyes growing bigger, her jaw becoming more agape, and then she started crying. When I finished the story, she said, "You must have seen that in a photo somewhere in my house." I asked what she was talking about. She said, "You just described exactly how this house looked when my parents first bought it, and before the millions of dollars of renovation work I had done to the house in the last decade." She said, "Every night my parents would sit right there in those chairs that I described down to the color and ornate detail of the arms of the chairs, and they would have a cocktail together while my father read the paper." My wife, myself, and the doctor went through the whole house and looked at every photo she had up on the walls because she was convinced I must have seen it in a photo to describe it to her that perfectly. There were no photos of that scene anywhere in the house. After that, it actually made the good doctor feel really happy, she told me. I explained how I just got this overwhelming feeling I had to tell her what I saw, and she took that as her parents wanted her to know that they were still there and with her. I, to this day, can't comprehend how I saw all of that in a brief moment, but it certainly happened and made me a strong believer that there is so much out there that we don't fully understand. I really appreciate you taking the time to read this and hope it makes it to air someday. I will continue to be a loyal listener to you and Tim, wishing both you and your families all my best. And that comes from Mark Hiller. Thank you, Mark. What a cool story. I like it, at least.
Yeah, no, I liked it as well.
Wasn't sure if maybe you were like, "Yeah, I'm not gonna like that story."
No, I do like that story. I was just
I don't know why you don't like it, Tim. It's a great story. I didn't say I didn't like it. Paranormal investigators have captured what they believe to be an eerie recording of a spirit saying, "He held me down there," during a rare house investigation. Gloucester Paranormal Investigative Services came across what they believed to be a spirit of a woman who said, "Help." They heard it through an Alice box, which translates words and sounds electronically with the human ear to make it sound. I'm trying to figure out how to say this because this is poorly written. It hears sounds electronically that the human ear would not naturally hear, is what I'm trying to say, Tim. The investigation was held at an uninhabited house in Gloucester on July 10th and began at 10:30 p.m. for 2 hours. The investigators had agreed to explore what was happening on the site after reports of people feeling they could sense something there. GPIS lead investigator Ed Francis said, "We had never been to this location before, so we did not know what to expect. There were three floors. We went to the top floor, and in one of the rooms, you could hear a stone being thrown across the room. Then we went back down to the ground floor where the K2s were, and they started to spike a lot. A K2 device detects spikes in electromagnetic activity, which is believed to be created by nearby paranormal phenomena. It is also used as a communication device. Investigators will ask the paranormal being to raise the amount of lights on the device to answer yes or no questions. Fellow GPIS lead investigator Paul Cowmeadow said, "When we went to look at the house and the area, we had not had any witness statements of anything which had happened there before. We had just been told it could be a bit creepy and that there had been some strange noises." Many people often confuse hearing of having a feeling of heaviness or sense in an area and assume that it's bad energy, when all too often it's not. The team also use a ball which lights up and flashes when conducting an investigation. On this occasion, the ball flashed in the room where the K2 machines were spiking. Ed said it seemed like the K2s were really going off and like what was there was drawing us to that room. Then we got in there and they stopped. When we asked if they could set it off again, it did. Then we used the spirit box. A voice of a woman came through which said, "He held me down here." Yet after that, things started to quiet down. We have established contact now and we'll be going back to a later date to see what else we can find out. The next day, the team were sent a clip from a viewer who saw an anomaly go down the staircase of the building. Paul said the light, which was around 2 feet long at least, was on the staircase around the first level in the house and it went down the stairs quite fast. We tried to debunk it. We thought it could have been a car light, but it would not have moved at that angle. We think it might have been going into the room where the communication was that we had with the spirit. The place has a feeling about it that could have been a residential home of sorts. We do have the story, the video, and everything up, Tim. If people want to go to darknessradio.com and click on the news tab, they'll find that story and the video there. How about that?
Sounds good.
Here's a weird little tale. We're staying over in the UK, Tim, to Merseyside. I don't know if you're familiar with Merseyside.
No.
But they have tunnels and caves where little boys were once chased by dwarves. Hi-ho! Hi-ho! Eerie Merseyside caverns explored throughout the generations have become synonymous with haunting folk tales and legends. For years, Crank Caverns and Crank St. Helens had been associated with numerous myths and stories, from children being chased by dwarves to underground tunnels leading to other parts of the borough and paranormal activity. The remains of the Rainford Delph Quarry in later years, Crank Caverns is believed to have been used as a game reserve and also an ammunition storage facility during the Second World War. Today, due to its instability, and health and safety, it is not officially open to the public, but the exterior of the site can still be seen via a nearby footpath. They take a brief look at some of the tales that have intrigued residents' curiosity for decades. They put out a call, the Echo newspaper, on social media to ask what myths and legends residents had heard about Crank Caverns and if they had ever visited. Samantha Ashton said, "I had heard that there's a tunnel that takes you to Billinge Hill, and there is a church down there where there are goblins. My hubby went in a bit further than I managed, which was literally the little gate. I don't like confined spaces." Meanwhile, Catherine Barnes said, "My granddad was gamekeeper after the war, and the family lived in the White House as it went to the job. It seemed to be haunted because a door would slam and footsteps would be heard crossing a room, but nobody was there."
She sounds lovely.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Marie Comer commented, "We visited a few years ago. It's very eerie with spooky little things, but good to go and see. There's lots of videos online of people's ventures throughout the tunnels." Meanwhile, David Pilkington posted, "The mousey was a small opening at the far end of the caverns. You had to squeeze through a little hole, but it soon opened up so you could walk. I went down there with my brother and in the 70s. We were aged about 10 to 11. We were there with an older lad. We took paraffin lanterns stolen from roadworks and chalk to write on the walls which way we were going. Maybe as a child it seemed a lot further than it actually was, but I reckon we walked at least a mile underground, the older lad telling us we were under Billinge. We came back unscathed. However, years later, I took my children there, and the mousie had been caged off with metal bars. Martin Duke Ward commented, "Someone told me of the Crank Rabbit. If you see it, you die within days. I've been there a few times looking for it, but never found it." How sad. Is he looking to die? He's there looking for the rabbit that if you see it, you die?
I guess.
Suicide by Bunny, Tim.
I have that album.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tony Yates went along to say, "I, along with a lad named John Winston Lee, entered the caverns via the mouse holes, a very thin opening to the left of the main entrances. The tunnel to the left had a roof fall and was blocked, but we went quite deep to the right until we came to an underground lake and could go no further. Finding the way out was difficult because there was a lot of passages that would have been around in 1964. Alan Toppin posted, "Jesus Christ, I don't have any more accents, Tim. Read something online about the army being sent down years ago. Been down a few times, but about 10 years back, though, through a little metal gate that had been opened. Nothing much down there. They spent a good hour wandering about. Quite eerie down there, but no phone signal whatsoever."
That's pretty good.
Meanwhile, Terry Callaghan said,
Scottish.
"Long time ago, my mate and I went to the caverns and got chased away by the gameskeeper."
An Exploring History UK Folklore podcast with Lewis Atherton and Claire Rigby from Community Cafe Momo's recently discussed Crank Caverns and its folktales. Providing their own thoughts and research, they discussed some of the main tales, theories, and local books which have captured part of these stories. It's great, and there's so many weird stories. I like this one, though. Lewis and Claire also discussed tales of witches and a man who is thought to have killed himself outside the entrance to a cavern after being hunted by a white rabbit. "Ooh, I'm late! I'm late for a very important date!" Isn't that the white rabbit's voice?
Yeah,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Was that his voice? No, that was more the Mad Hatter voice, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The white rabbit was more... I'm late. Right? He had that kind of muffly weird voice.
Yeah.
Stories of little boys being chased by dwarves have also been speculated. And in the 1930s, a group of reporters went down looking for the dwarves. Hi-ho. There's a story from the 70s of three children. They're teenagers who went through the mousie, and it's described in a newspaper that the mousie hole went in a circle, and that's all that's left. But they went down there with candles. I don't think they had matches, and if they did, only one or two of the three matches... And the Cave Mountain and Rescue had to haul them out. It's a poorly written article. But there you go, Tim.
Yeah.
There's some tales of wicked woe.
But properly voiced and very, very, very entertaining.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I try.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, quite, Commander. "I live in the Tower of London. I've seen ghosts and I need permission to leave." That comes from Megan Clausen. A university student has opened up about her rather unusual living situation after she moved into the Tower of London. Yeah, you heard that right. The Tower. The Tower of London, Tim. While most people know the 13th century building is a tourist attraction, the tower is actually home to many staff who work at the venue and their families, including Megan Clausen and her dad, Chris. Chris has worked as a beef eater at the attraction for several years, and last year, Megan decided to move in with him. Instead of forking out thousands for student accommodation when she started university in the castle. First of all, Tim, I want to tell you, very disappointed. I went to the castle and I attempted to sign up to become a beef eater because I like a good steak.
Oh, don't we all?
Oh, God, I'm like, fine. Finally, a place that respects a guy that likes a good porterhouse or a good strip steak, and they're willing to pay you. And it turns out that's not what beef eaters are.
No?
They're at all time. Those are the guys with the big furry black hats.
Yeah.
I think they're the beef eaters. And then I think the guys with the little caps with the red jackets are beef eaters. Disappointing. No steak at all.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Not even a good pot roast?
No, that was nothing for me. Not even kidney pie.
No. Ugh.
Yeah, Chris has worked as a beef eater at the attraction for several years. His daughter moved in. More than a year later, the 21-year-old has experienced her fair share of bizarre goings-on in the tower, from spotting ghosts and other paranormal activities to not being able to order takeaway, which means order restaurant food to be delivered, Tim. And it turns out there's a lot of rules when it comes to living in such an iconic landmark, as Megan even has to ask permission from security to be able to leave the fortress. My dad has been working in the tower for quite a few years, and when I moved to London for university, I realized it was pointless me paying London rent when I could just leech off my father. I mean, I could just move in with him. So that's what I did in 2020, she explained. There isn't a lot of freedom living here because people can see you coming and going, and you have to sign out and get permission if you want to leave after the tower closes at night, and it's constantly guarded. In fact, Megan ever wants to have friends or family come visit, she even has to sign them in or have them escorted around the building due to security precautions. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Fortunately, though, the student is still able to have her own space as she has the entire top floor of the four-story home, which used to be the medical center in the 13th century. The unique living quarter is complete with arrow slits in the windows, four flights of stairs, and a whole wall filled with memorabilia. Megan, who works as a TV and film extra, added the only people that can live in the tower are people who work here and their families. There's around 40 families that live here now. The whole outer wall of the tower is housing for the workers. And because the house is so tall, it almost feels like I have my own apartment because I have an entire top floor. A lot of time, I can't believe I actually live here. If I sit on my balcony, people will take pictures of me, thinking I'm part of the attraction. It's such a privilege living here, but I just can't wrap my head around it. So far, boring. Let's get to the ghost story, Megan. But while there's definite perks to living in an unusual setting, Megan has experienced a few spooky incidents, from spotting a ghost to hearing people walking around her home while no one else was there. I've had a few paranormal experiences when my dad's not here and I'm on my own. I'll hear walking up and down the stairs and doors closing, she explained. My house is split in half, so the other half is someone else's, and my next-door neighbor has said she gets knocking and banging when her husband isn't home as well. She added, on New Year's Eve, I was on the sofa and the telly flashed on static at 3 a.m. I saw a silhouette standing in front of it. The paranormal used to frighten me a lot, but living here, you just expect it. I think most people living here have accepted the creepy things that happen. So there you go. Living in the old Tower of London, Tim.
Yeah, I don't know that that's got all the benefits that it's cracked up to be.
Nope. Nope, yeah. You're right. Yeah. Hello, Dave and Tim. I'm going to share a story with you guys of something that happened to me, and this may be my first paranormal encounter that I experienced ever. When I was still in kindergarten, I used to go every night before bed. I used to sleep on my parents' bedroom to the kitchen and drink either some water, milk, or orange juice. But every night I saw something on the door to exit the house. It was a black figure standing up until it reached the roof, just growing in size. It had red eyes, if I remember correctly, a big mouth. And as soon as it reached the roof, it would charge towards me. I screamed, ran into my parents' bedroom, and then told them I saw something in the door inside the house. My father ran out and came back, told me to go to bed. He was angry because he thought I was lying. Next night, same thing happened. He went outside the room, saw nothing, and told me the same thing. I would go to the kitchen and try to look at the front door, but felt something looking at me, waiting and expecting me to look. I tried to face my fear, look straight at it, and wait. I didn't want to be scared anymore, so I did. On my way back, I stood there, not looking until it felt staring at me. Turned to the front door and waited until it grew in size. We stared at each other for a good 5 seconds, not blinking. Then it launched at me. I waited as long as I could until I gave up and ran to my parents' room. That was the moment I decided not to go get a drink of water at night until I was older, to be able to go out and drink something when there was nothing there. Maybe it's a shadow person, I'm not sure, but it did scare me. I'm 28 years old and still remember those nights like it happened not too long ago. Thank you for reading. Hope you enjoyed the story. And if you like, I can tell you more stories that happened to me and my family members. One happened to all of my cousins and I, and we all saw the same thing. Up to this day, we can't explain what happened. Enrique Santos, send those stories on, my friend. We want to hear them. We need to hear them. Nay, we demand to hear them, Tim.
Oh, yes.
Have you been enjoying the Shock Docs on Discovery Plus?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've been pretty good.
Yep.
There's a new one coming out. Discovery Plus launches a shocking documentary on extraterrestrial contact in the Hudson Valley, Alien Invasion. It seems shocking that in the past 2 years, the United States government has admitted to the existence of strange phenomena all over the world. But while the pandemic and political landscape has occupied the media headlines, internet and media chatter about that revelation seems to be pretty minimal. Well, Alien Invasion, Hudson Valley, an all-new shock doc being released on Discovery Plus on August 15, not only dives into the revelation of the existence of UFO phenomena, it follows an in-depth investigation into eyewitness accounts and spine-tingling encounters with extraterrestrial phenomena. The synopsis for the program, while Area 51 has all the notoriety, the Hudson Valley region just north of New York City remains the undisputed UFO heavyweight champion capital of the world, reporting nearly 3,000 extraterrestrial encounters over just the last decade. The team leading this new investigation into the region includes Ben Hansen, former FBI profiler and expert in extraterrestrial paranormal affairs. There is Melissa Tittle, an investigative journalist breaking news on paranormal science and conspiracies, and Mark D'Antonio, Hudson Valley native and chief photo researcher for MUFON, the top civilian UFO investigative organization in the world. Throughout the two-hour special, the team takes an innovative approach to investigating extraterrestrials by utilizing paranormal equipment and techniques to deliver stunning results. This unique investigation method leads to messages from beyond, chilling firsthand accounts, and overwhelming video evidence, all indications that may prove we are not alone. The team will be supporting their research with eyewitness accounts and testimonials, as well as state-of-the-art paranormal equipment as they explore the questions like, why are aliens descending in the Hudson Valley and what do they want from residents there? Testimonials include a conversation with a skeptical community leader who shares his bone-chilling encounter with a UFO landing and a local homeowner who believes her house has been haunted by otherworldly beings for generations. We use a multidimensional approach with specialized cameras and technology, much of which was designed for the military, and combine that with techniques commonly utilized in paranormal communication experiments, said Ben Hansen. Our equipment and the team's combined expertise really enhance our investigative efforts. We truly hope to bring Hudson Valley residents the answers they're looking for, even though they may not be prepared for what we find. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Alien Invasion. You're going to want to check that out. Hudson Valley. Creepy stuff, huh?
Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Alien Invasion Hudson Valley is being produced by Mac Pictures for Discovery Plus. Will release on the streaming service Monday, August the 15th, Tim. And before we leave, Tim, we have one more story. And it includes Steven Spielberg, who believes his DVD of the movie Paranormal Activity was haunted. How weird and obscure is that?
A little.
Let me remind everybody, we do have a live show Thursday night on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook, Twitter, all of that. You can watch our live video stream 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. That's 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Mountain Time. Go to the Darkness Radio YouTube page right now. Subscribe to it. Hit the little bell so you're alerted when new projects pop up there. We try to do those. For those of you that listen to just the podcast, the episode will be available this Friday free of charge. A bonus episode. Why? Because I like you. M-O-U-S-E. There's never anything normal about paranormal activity, but did you know that Steven Spielberg was convinced his copy of the movie Paranormal Activity was haunted? We're taking a look back at how this low-budget flick became the standard when it comes to found footage-style terror. That's what this article states. Spielberg was spooked by an incident in his own home. In 2009, the Los Angeles Times reported something rather alarming. Steven Spielberg had reportedly taken a DVD of Paranormal Activity to his estate in Pacific Palisades in 2008. DreamWorks was mulling over a decision on whether or not to get involved with this $15,000 independent film. He watched it, and not long afterward, his bedroom door locked. No big deal, except that it was empty, and it locked from the inside. According to the LA Times, Spielberg, unreasonably spooked, hired a locksmith and removed the disc from his home, delivering it back to DreamWorks in a garbage bag full of all things. He didn't dispose of it altogether because, well, he liked the movie. Oren Peli had crafted a nicely terrifying little movie about what happens when a demonic possession occurs in the mundane normalcy of a suburban cookie-cutter home. It managed to achieve something tricky that the Blair Witch Project had mastered previously. It terrified audiences without gore. So I like that Spielberg, guy that made Poltergeist and Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yep.
Felt that there was something creepy when he brought the DVD home and got rid of it.
I had heard that story before. It was a few years ago, but yeah, I'd heard that. Oh. Yeah.
Well, they said the compelling story about Spielberg didn't exactly hurt the movie. Some speculated that it was part of a marketing campaign meant to drum up publicity with high-profile realistic stories like Spielberg's. Found footage movies rely on a sense of realism to fuel the fear, and Spielberg's incident fit the bill perfectly. He genuinely liked the movie. And somebody with Spielberg's clout, merely liking a movie is an endorsement in itself. Paranormal Activity went gangbusters, spawning a gnarly oversupply of sequels. Following the 2007 release of the original, there were five sequels between 2010 and 2015 alone. That was one per year. Paranormal Activity 7 is reportedly in development with a projected release date of 2022. So that keeps you up to date with what's going on in the world of Paranormal Activity, Tim.
Yeah.
Paranormal Activity. Speaking of Paranormal Activity, maybe you want to get out. Maybe you want to have some fun. Michigan Paracon is coming up August 26th through the 29th. Tickets and info are available. You can check it out by clicking the link. Just go to darknessevents.com, darknessevents.com, and or darknessradio.com and click the events tab. Either one will get you there. Scroll down, find out all the cool places. The 7th Annual New Jersey Para Unity Expo takes place in Woodbridge, New Jersey, September 25th. I'll be there along with Jason Hawes, Steve Gonzalez, Amy Allen, Dave Tango, Scott Porter, Chip Coffee, Adam Berry, Amy Bruni, Greg and Dana Newkirk, Mark Morin, Mark Skuerman, Dave Schrader, that's me, Daryl Marston, Doogie McDougal, and Cindy Kaza will all be on hand. The Triple Whammy Jericho Cruise event takes place October 21st through the 25th. Come cruise with me through the Bermuda Triangle. Or the Las Vegas Para Unity Convention welcomes the Holzer Files. Dave Schrader, Shane Pittman, now Cindy Kaza added, December 9th through the 11th at the MGM Grand Convention Center, Las Vegas. Details and tickets are at VegasParaUnity.com or go check out DarknessEvents.com. And the final event that I'm promoting right now will be taking place, Wicked Salem Cruise, November 11th through the 14th of 2022, though. So that's 2022. But tickets and cruise information is up and available right now. So go check out DarknessEvents.com. Find out where we're going to be and come on out and spend some time with us and explore the strange and unusual world around us. That's it for today's Supernatural News Parashare. I'm Dave. That's Tim. This is Darkness Radio.